Wisdom from Biblical History, The Story of Joseph, Part 3. In the previous messages, we looked at how Joseph was given dreams by God of authority and leadership, but he misused those gifts from God to humiliate his brothers and exalt himself. And if there's one thing we can be absolutely sure about, what Jesus said so clearly in Luke 14:11 will always be true. Everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled. So his brothers pretended he was dead, sold him into slavery, where he was falsely accused of a crime and put in prison. For how long? Well, probably about 10 years. But here's the critical thing. In spite of all Joseph's disappointments, sufferings, and the injustices done to him, he never lost his faith in God or his faithfulness to God. So when Potiphar's wife came to him and demanded he go to bed with her, someone else in that situation could rationalize, "Well, God understands what a tough position I'm in. I mean, she pretty much owns me. And I would be at great personal risk if I displease her. And as we saw, she has all the power, and Joseph has none." So Joseph could have said, "God understands if I do her bidding. He understands." Joseph could have said that. Rather, Joseph says, "How can I do this wicked thing and sin against God?" Yes, God understands. That's why he gave us his Holy Spirit. And that's why he gave us his powerful word. And Joseph stands on that word by the power of the Holy Spirit and says, "No." That answer gets him thrown in prison. But that doesn't matter so much because it says the Lord was with him. And Joseph did not even lose his joy in the Lord in that prison. How do we know that? When he saw the baker and the cupbearer dejected, he said, "Why are you looking so sad?" Well, they're in a dungeon. But Joseph was so full of hope, he thought being sad in the prison he was in charge of to be an unnatural thing. And why is that? Because the Lord was with him. So we know Joseph is going to be okay, even much better than okay. So let's read on. Verse 14 of chapter 41. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh. "But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin, and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterwards are 7 years. And so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance of Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man to put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Aseneth, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Aseneth, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim. He said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph had said, there was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. Now, I'm not going to cover all the rest of the story. There are several chapters there about how Joseph was reunited with his father and brothers. But I want to skip through that to the place where Joseph explains it all. Genesis 50, verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." I'll say that again. That's perhaps the most important verse. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Or, "You intended it for evil, but God meant it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. It says, to accomplish what is now being done. It was not theory, it was actual experience. So as horrible as it all was as a teenager to be torn from your family and home and carried away into slavery, and then in slavery to be falsely accused of a crime and have no power to defend yourself, all that pain was not for nothing. Our trials, plus faith and patience, are achieving things we cannot imagine. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." It is clear that Joseph weighed his own sufferings on the balance and found that the good that came out of them was far greater than the evil he experienced. And that is the end of the matter. That is always the end of the matter when we refuse to sin to make it easy for ourselves, and when we combine faith and patience and trust God to work all things out for His glory and our good.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.